power and authority in the name of Jesus. And we speak that authority into this room today. We speak with that authority of Jesus, declaring an open heaven over this room, an open heaven over this property, over this town, that the name of Jesus will be declared throughout Maruya, throughout the Yirrabadalla, and throughout New South Wales and Australia. Lord, we declare that name of Jesus, the name at which every demon trembles. There is nothing can stand against it. And Lord, we just ask today, Father, as we speak your word out in this house, Father, that each and every man, woman and child in this place, Father, would receive the same revelation that you've given me through this past week. Father, as we've delved into your word, Lord, as we've laid aside things, Father, for you. And Lord, that's our desire, Father, that we would go from this place today changed. Changed in the name of Jesus. Changed in your power. Changed in our understanding of who we are and what we stand for in the kingdom of God. And Lord, we give you glory. We acknowledge you, Jesus, as the one with all authority. And we give you glory today, Jesus. Amen. What a great place to be on a Sunday. It's lovely, Peter and Janie, to see you there today with us. Is if I miss you and I don't recognise you here in this house, all right, please know that, you know, I do love each and every one of you dearly. So, so much. And I know that's only reflected more and more by our beautiful Pastor Julie. I know she would delight in being here today and just to be able to look out on your faces and say hello. I'm a bit like everyone else. I don't think any of us like it, you know, when things come against us, and particularly our friends. A lot of the time we seem to be able to absorb things in ourselves, but when it touches those close to us, that's where it starts to, you know, affect us a little bit, doesn't it? And I just, you know, really encourage you today. As I said, if you feel you've reached the end of your rope, let it go. Just enjoy falling into Jesus' arms. Just let him hold you, because that's what he just loves doing. That was why, you know, he strengthened his arms so that he could hold them and do that time on the cross. But then after that, he was strengthened for you, to hold you, to tell you that he loves you and to look after you and move you through all of the stuff that is this world. Before I kick into my message today, I just want to honour Sandra for her word last week. Is that it's never easy to try and stand here and bring a contained, condensed message to the church. The subject of the Holy Spirit is a huge, enormous one, and I honour her for her message last week on that. It brought a lot of clarity. It helped out in a lot of ways. And for each and every one of us, I really encourage you is that over time, Sandra's brought some other amazing messages. One was she brought one on the signs and the times, the things that were going to happen. And if we understand the word, we understand what's happening around us. The reason that's important is that a lot of the time is we worry about things that the word of God has already declared aren't going to happen. The world is not going to come to an end. The Bible declares that that's not going to happen. The actual next event to take place in this church era is a thing called the rapture. All right? If you're worried about something, worry about whether you're one of the foolish virgins or one of the ones that has their oil. That's something to worry about, because it is the next event according to the word of God. All right? So don't worry about if the world's going to come to an end because Ukraine's been invaded. Worry about the people. Lift the people up. It's important that they understand and know the peace of God. But don't worry about the world coming to an end. The world is not going to come to an end because of climate, that something's going to happen in the climate. All right? It will not happen. Okay? Doesn't say we don't need to be good stewards, all right? But it is important, as Sandra, if I encourage you, go back and find a message and have a listen. There's things that we shouldn't have even to be thinking about, all right? Because the word's already declared what is going to happen. We are at the end of this era known as the church time. We are right here. Everything worked in 2,000-year periods of time. We're here, all right? I encourage you, worry about what is important, and that is being ready for when Jesus returns. Because the Bible tells us there is no signs, there is no idea that he is coming. He will just come. And for those of us that are ready, we will rise up and we'll meet him in the clouds, and he will meet us there, and we will be taken away. After that, then there's a whole heap of stuff's going to happen. All right, I encourage you, don't worry about the stuff. Get yourself ready. All right, the stuff will take care of itself, because if you've got it right, we're with him. Okay, so I put that to you today. And I want to thank Sandra for being faithful in bringing those types of messages to this church, because it's important for us to know. All right, the message last week on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to reveal Jesus, to bring him out, to give us strength and understanding, to help us, to hold us, to nurture us, look after us, and carry us through so that we will be ready for his coming. You like my balloons? I'm going to let you be intrigued by them for a little while. I will make something come to pass with those balloons. My wife, she's got a little bit of trepidation about this, as anyone when you start playing with balloons, all right? You know, when things work, it's great, but when they go pop, they make a terrible noise. So hopefully it's going to work out. So wonder about that for a little while. My message to you today is the birth and growth of a Christian. Or what we nurture grows, or what we neglect dies. So I put that to you today just as a title. Now, as I stand here today, I want you to understand, for me to stand at a lectern and bring words is unusual. If anyone knows my story, as I went through high school, I got a mandatory F for public speaking because there was two things were going to happen. Either I wasn't going to do it, or I wouldn't be there when public speaking was, you know, you're asked to bring a 5-minute thing before your English class. I loathe having to stand in front of people. It is, I said to Craig a little earlier, I'm nervous. That is. But you know, all throughout church history, God didn't ever use those that were well equipped. God always, if you feel you're really well equipped and that you should be out there doing something, chances are you're probably not doing what God wants, all right? Because God works a little bit different. What he looks for is not our abilities, but our willingness to use his abilities. And as he does that, if we have a look at Gideon as just an example, Gideon was told, go out and bring an army together. And he did that. But he had too many men. And God says to him really clearly, get rid of some of them. Anyone who's fearful or afraid, go away. Go back to your things. All right? Then till he eventually ends up with 300 who actually, you know, scoop the water up and that was a way. But God was very clear then that he did not want a person being recognised or given glory for the victory that would take place. And that is so true in what he does here in churches, all right, is that he doesn't want us taking the glory of what he does. This is his church. It is all about him, all right? And I look back just quickly in my life. Sandra mentioned last week about Benny Hinn. And at the time, Rosie and I were in Brisbane. We were doing ministry training. And at the time, our class of at the ministry training was invited along to go and be the ushers and the things for Benny Hinn's events that he was having in Brisbane. And Sandra mentioned last week about the Holy Spirit, and it's an experience. It's something that comes to pass. It's something that, you know, it'll be different for everyone, but it's not, you know, we can't just sort of go, oh, well, this is how it and that, and it does like this. But when we were there, at the end of the event, Benny Hinn says, I want to now honour all those who've served in the house here tonight, and he invited us to come on stage that he was going to pray for us. But the thing was that the stage was a fairly high stage, and you had to go up these set of steps on to get up onto the stage. Well, as we turned and we're trying to come up the steps, the presence of God, the anointing that was on, was so heavy that as I'm going up the steps, I'm actually pressing up, and I have this vivid recollection of it being like a sheet of glad wrap, just pressing down. And I'm trying to push up through this ceiling that was there to get onto the stage to take what he was going to bring for us. And how do you explain people that came in wheelchairs and walked away? How do you explain what the Holy Spirit does? So I'm just going to look now. Now let's, as I said, my message today is the birth and growth of a Christian, or what we nurture grows, what we neglect dies. So I want you to turn, if you would, in your Bibles to John chapter 3. Now you notice I didn't make it easy today and give you words on the screen. Because as we go through this message today, I really believe that I can only encourage you to do some things. The Holy Spirit will only ever encourage you. He will never make you do something that you don't want to do. But I really encourage you is to grab hold of a Bible and start to bring it with you as you come to church. I don't say that to embarrass you or anything, but this is God's church. This is his place. This is a place where his word needs to be opened. It's a place where his word needs to be read. It's a place where we get to understand, accept it, and come to terms with it. I'm just going to embarrass Sandra again a little bit. Does anyone in the room feel that there's any chance that Sandra's going to miss out on going to heaven? Don't even have to ask that question, do I? Because it's evident, all right? It's evident within her because she has chosen, made a choice to believe. Jesus asks us, all I want is for you to believe. That actually means drawing a line, choof, in the sand and stepping in and believing. And I'm going to speak a little bit in a sec. I might even find my notes later on and have a look. The new birth. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, the word Nicodemus in the Greek means conqueror. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So I put that to you today. That's the first thing, is you must be born again. Is the born again experience just something that happens once, that takes place, and then we go out and we find that, oh, I'm born again. Well, that's inconvenient. Now I've got to go to church on Sundays. That's going to mess up my social activities. Or is there more to the born-again experience? I would suggest that the born-again experience is exactly what it speaks about, and that is a birth. It is the beginning. It's not the end, it's the beginning. Just as Jesus was born, and I like this phrase, it's called the Immaculate Conception. Isn't that a couple of beautiful words? But Jesus was not born the same as all of us. We were born in the natural, of this world, tainted by all the things of this world. Jesus was born by the Holy Spirit coming to Mary, and she would conceive immaculately, a different type of conception, a man untainted by the world, untainted by sin, had nothing. He was a different bloodline. He was different to all of us. But now in this new birth, what happens is the Holy Spirit comes again and comes to a person, you and I, and there again is an immaculate conception. There is a spiritual birth takes place. This new baby is created here in our lives. It's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have now become new. But we have this tiny little baby now that's beginning to grow and to grow and to grow. There is a role to play now. There is a role to nurture and to look after and to grow this baby up and to continue to grow this baby for a lifetime. As we go through life, what happens to a lot of us is we go through this amazing experience of being born again. We have this period of time where, you know, we're full on excited and it's all going really well and it's swimmingly good. But then this darkness starts to pervade again and starts to come in and starts to vie for attention. And this new little baby that we're birthed inside of us is now starting to get left out a little bit. And we face a point of time in our lives where we have to choose, are we going to nurture this one or are we going to allow the vineyard, the vines and the things of darkness to come in and steal that baby away? It's a choice we will make. It's a choice. We will either believe or we will be drawn away. Now, my balloons. Let's see if we can make this happen. This is going to be intriguing, isn't it? All right. Sandra's chuckling. I know. Any of us that play with balloons, we're in for a bit of a... Might have to get my wife down here later on to help out. She is ready. I know she's ready. All right, is that, if I can. Notice there's different coloured balloons. All right, this, Rosie, I might need your help, hon. Oh, I might stay there for a sec. Yeah, that'll do. Okay, so, natural man, spiritual man. Is there room in this one for this one? Is there room in this one for this one? No. As we are now born again, a new creation, a spiritual man, is that you don't have to do anything in the kingdom of God. You can choose to. But I would suggest that if we choose to start to nurture this new creation within us and to grow it to be healthy and strong, and to then we will be the beneficiaries of that. If we leave it down and over a period of time our natural man and our spiritual man, for those that are on screen, are now the same size, then we're in a dangerous place. Because the Word of God tells us that wherever we are double-minded, we are unstable in all our ways. We will choose either the new creation or the old creation. Our Word, the Word of God that we're reading, has to become paramount in our lives. We have to start... Oh, I shouldn't say that. We don't have to do anything. All right? Again, you don't have to do anything. All right? But again, if you will choose this day whom you will serve, then God has promises for us. Let's see if this bit's going to work. Just in case, block your ears. So what needs to happen in our lives is that, a bit like these couple of balloons, is that before Christ in our lives, we're the natural man. We have nothing of the Spirit. There is nothing happening in our lives. You're probably wondering, you've thought, well, I've pursued success and it was an illusion. I've pursued happiness and it was a happening. I've pursued all of these things of the world, only to find that, as Solomon found out when he writes the book of Ecclesiastes, that it was all just an illusion, all vanity, a grasping at the wind or trying to hold oil in your hands. Is that the world is deceitful. It is a lie. You will not make it trying to achieve all the things that God promises in the world. His love, his joy, his peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. Hey, there's another good one at the end, isn't there? Called self-control or long-suffering. But patience has taken a long time coming for me. Jill got it. All right. I suppose for all of us, patience will take a long time coming for all of us. So having now gone through this born-again experience, now what we need to do is start to take a different direction in our lives and start to squeeze out the old things, not giving them place, right, but starting to put our effort and our direction and our purpose into the new things that God has for us. Anyway, it would have worked, except someone's figured us. But that's what we need. That's what we need to do to the old. At least it didn't go bang. But that's what we need to do to the old man. We need to squeeze him, squash him out of the road, pop him out and say, be gone. All right? And nurture this new growth. Defibrillator? We'll see how it works, eh? So let's go back to Scripture. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, we've covered that there. Is Nicodemus was a man trained in the world. That was all he could understand. He did not comprehend the spiritual dimension. All right, that there's a whole other world that Sandra brought to us last week by the working of the Holy Spirit. And Nicodemus couldn't understand this. He couldn't come to it. And Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. If we've chosen this born-again experience, we are now brought in through water and Spirit into the kingdom of God. But we are still only this little, tiny little babe in here. All right? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It's a different dimension. It's a different world. Is that this, the body of Christ, this God's church, is like these two balloons. They're not compatible. All right? They're in different places. You can't be out there in the world and bring it here and think we're going to bring it to make it work here. All right? The things of the world are contrary to the things of God. We need to start to look and to take a different path as we go through our lives. We need to start to look to the spirit and not the natural. All right? Because the world is trained and continues to train us in the things of the world. If you doubt that you can be drawn away, if you're not prepared to put the effort in, is that, does anyone who know in the room know who Charles Templeton is? You do, because I spoke to you the other day. All right? So one person? Does anyone know who Billy Graham is? Okay. Just have a quick drink. In the 1940s, there was a group called Youth for Christ, started to raise up evangelicals. Billy Graham was one of those men, but also Charles Templeton was. Charles Templeton was considered the top of the class. He was eloquent, a great speaker. He was well trained in theology, amazing man in his own right. There was another fellow in the room called Billy Graham. Billy Graham at the time wasn't even considered in the top six of any of the speakers that were going to go out and evangelise for Youth for Christ. In 1947, Chuck Templeton comes to Billy Graham and he says, "You're shallow. You don't understand very much of the Word of God and you'll never amount to anything." Right? At that stage, Billy Graham was only preaching to millions. It wasn't about Billy Graham's abilities, but about what God was doing through him. Now, this man, Chuck Templeton, on the other hand, had a lot of natural ability. He had given his heart to Christ, but his little baby hadn't been nurtured to maturity. And he eventually went on to Princeton University to study so that he wasn't so shallow and one and single-minded towards Christ. Do you know he got drawn away, would end up denying Christ, and would die not recognising Christ in any way. Today the world recognises Billy Graham, recognising him for over 50 years as a life, one of the most recognisable men in the world. Who do you think got honoured out of that? See, it's not about your natural ability. It's whether you have stick ability. Whether you're going to go through the things that you need to go through and finish the other end. All right? It's a bit like knowing the times and being one of the virgins that's got your lamp full of oil. All right? This word gives us so, so much. Do you know there's promises for those going into heaven of crowns? We don't just, you know, like this born-again experience, is it just something we have so that whew, we get into heaven and whew, that was close? Or is it that it's the beginning of something that gives us this eternal life, but now with abundance, with crowns that Jesus puts on our heads, rewards that are given to us for what we've done in our lives? Isn't that not our good and honourable duty, you know, to be seeking these things that God has for us? Let's continue on here. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Here we are, the head shebang, you know, the Pharisee of the Pharisees, right? But he only knows what he's been taught. And as Sandra said last week, all right, is that Mr. Google out there is an amazing source of information, right? But if you do not recognise what is true and what is false, Mr. Google can take you anywhere you like. It's an amazing thing, okay, is that I encourage you that this word is true. This word will not distract you. It will not send you off on an untruth. All right? It will not give you a portion of the truth and then send you out there. It will give you all of the truth. The reason I encourage you is to actually use one of these, a printed version, is that most of us are like the rest of us in that when we're reading, we get a little bit distracted. If you're on your phone, you will get distracted to something else. If you're reading this, you'll get distracted, no worries. But it'll be to probably the other corner down there and you'll go, oh, I've never read that before. Look at that. All right? Is that's what starts to happen. If we will start, you know, our little babies initially can't read real good, okay? And we probably don't understand much. But if, I'll go to my notes. Would that be a good idea? we'll have a look, see if I've got it written down. If it comes real easy, I'll read it out. If it doesn't, well, then we'll leave it. Nah, it doesn't come easily. But anyway, one of the archbishops in Canterbury, because a lot of the time, a lot of people say to me, but I don't understand, I can't understand it. One of the archbishops had a really good saying. He says, I believe so that I might understand. All right? Because as Sandra mentioned last week, until the Holy Spirit comes and he testifies and he helps us, all right, is you can walk around out there in the natural world, all right, before the born-again experience and before the Holy Spirit, and this is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those that are born again of the Spirit of God, this is life, and life abundantly, right? It is an amazing piece of literature. There's so many amazing things in there. Do you think if we went to, I think it's Samuel 18, where David slays Goliath, but at the end, in the next part down is that after David has slayed Goliath, Saul takes him, and now David's going to go from living out in the pasture with the sheep to living in a palace. Do you think things would be a bit different? If we've been born again into the kingdom of God, we have been taken now from our lost, and now we're placed into a kingdom, into this palace. We need to dress a little different. We can't stay in our dirty righteousness. All right? There is no such thing, I don't suppose. But I use that word sort of to try and give you a bit of definition. But we need to be clothed in his righteousness. That's something that we do daily. We take on, clothed in his righteousness through his blood. I'm getting away from scripture. Down back. Nicodemus asks, how can these things be? Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. Now, Nicodemus couldn't understand what Jesus was trying to do because he has no connection to the spirit realm. He understands the things of the world. If you've come to this church, you have to have come out of the world. You've probably even been trained really well in the world. You probably have good understanding, a lot of skills, all sorts of things. You might even have degrees or things like that. But guess what? They don't give you education to the things of the Spirit. This is where you get it, here in church. God's plan for his people. This is a great place. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how you will believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Right? That's what I say to you today. You don't have to do any of these things. I don't want to condemn you if you're not. But that the world through him might be saved. And he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in Christ. Whoa, how good is that? Is that if we will put off the foolish things of the world and start to pursue these glorious gifts that he has for us. Let's quickly have a look at some of the things. Sandra, last week, the Spirit changes us to become more like Jesus. What does it mean to become more like Jesus? Well, we have to look at the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Here's the thing. We're out there, the world wants love and peace, all right? But it's a fruit of the Spirit. Outside of the Spirit of God, how's it going to come to the world? We need God. We need Jesus. Right? The world needs Jesus. We need all that he brings into it. Righto. Plenty of time. Quick joke. Dear Vicar, there are 566 people in our church. 100 are frail and elderly. That leaves 466 to do all the work. But 80 are at school. Of course, that leaves 386. But 150 of those are tired business people, leaving 236 to do all the work. 150 of those are busy with children. That leaves 86 to do all the work. But 15 live too far away and come here regularly. And anyway, that leaves 71 to do all the work. 69 say they've already done their bit for the church, and that leaves you and me. And I'm exhausted, so good luck to you. We can chuckle about that, but it's pretty true about church. It's because, again, the born-again part of our life, all right, is that church, whether we like it or not, is not an optional part of the born-again experience. God gives us this place that we might come to church on a regular basis to have his blessing, all right? Because he tells us that if we will bring our tithes into the storehouse, will not he open the windows of heaven and pour out his blessings upon us? If we're not in church and we're not paying our tithes, how can he do that for us? I don't know. There's others out there trying to figure that out. I'm not willing to risk the opportunity. Not something that messes with my social life. All right, Sunday is a set apart part of what we do as part of being born again of the Spirit of God. God asks us to do it. He says, gather together, all right? Gather together, all right? And you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. This is how the church grows, as we come and as we grow and as this new creation begins to grow in us, and we grow in this new understanding, and the Holy Spirit moves in us and empowers us to go out and be witnesses to all the world for what he has. For men, you'll know where I get a lot of this from next Tuesday night when you hear Nikki Gumbel speaking, all right? But is that, because next Tuesday we're gathering together, aren't we, Royce, for men, okay? Even if it's just you and I again, eh? That'll be good. But you and I will be witnesses. But in it, he says, this one fella didn't want to get saved because that means I've got to go out and witness. He says, well, let's make an exception for you. You don't have to tell anyone, okay? If you get born again, you don't have to tell anyone, okay? So come now and let... He said, righto. So they go and pray. And the first thing, he jumps up, runs downstairs and tells all his family and says, guess what? I've been born again, but I don't have to tell anyone. It's really good. What did he do? All right, because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in you, wants to testify of Jesus. All right, God doesn't want us for our abilities, but our willingness to use His. There's seven gifts of Christ to believers. Right, these are for to the believers: rest, keys of the kingdom, power over evil spirits, living water, bread of heaven, eternal life, and a legacy of peace. How good are those things? All right. Rewards of the faithful for spiritual service, the soul winners. Rewards of the faithful as humble servants, the faithful stewards, the benevolent, those who do good. and those who do good to all the nations. But glory, honour and peace for everyone who does good. Romans 2:10. All ranks and stations. Ephesians 6:8. For you know the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does. This is what takes us. You know, we take this newborn creation in us. We nurture it. We look after it. We feed it with the word. Now let's quickly duck over to Romans 12. Romans 12. Yeah, it's a great place. It's a really good spot. This is our role. This is our role. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Is that us? Is that us? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, that to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. I just want to touch on that a little bit as the church, is that each one of us being members in the church, is that you've heard it said that we're Jesus' hands and feet. Within a church, that's an important part, because there's one person set aside by God to be the head in the local church, and that's our pastor. The rest of us are the hands and the feet. I encourage you that no matter how widely you've been successful in the world, when we come into church, it works on a different currency. It works a different way around. And that if we will come and say, what would you like me to do? As opposed to having your ideas, because we need hands and feet, not more heads. All right? When there's too many heads, things become unstable and off track. All right? And I put this to a couple of guys over the last few weeks, is that this church serves and touches a wide variety of areas and places, all right? Importantly is that we could start more things, but the things we already have in place need help, all right? If we would rather and take this scripture to heart now, not thinking highly of ourselves, but now coming and serving in what we already have going, then the church can start to rise and to grow. All right, I only put that in there just as something the Holy Spirit just tapped me with there. So let's flick back over to John and chapter 3 again, because later on, John the Baptist goes out and his disciples are speaking to him. And John the Baptist, if we have a look here, so if we go down to 29, chapter 3, verse 29 in John. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. So John's just clarifying who he is here at this point. Jesus is the bridegroom. He has the bride. All right? John the Baptist doesn't. He is a friend of the bridegroom. He tells us that right here. That's not rocket science, okay? But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly. Are we rejoicing greatly with this new growth, with this, what's going on? Because of the bridegroom's voice, when we hear Jesus' voice. Sandra said last week, you know, speaking about the Holy Spirit, when we hear, it might be a still, quiet voice, it might be a loud one, it might be through all sorts of things. But when we hear his voice, do not we rejoice? But then he goes on, therefore this joy of mine is fulfilled. But listen to this. He must increase, but I must decrease. And that was what I was trying to show you with the balloon, all right, before it popped. We've got to squeeze out the old. We've got to let the new grow. We've got to be, no, don't, as I said, we don't have to do anything, all right? But you can choose to, all right? And you will find that the blessings will pour out. Graham and I were having a bit of a yarn the other day, just about the blessings that have come onto our lives, the things that come that you can't even fathom, you know, what happens. You know, all right, I got off track. I'll go back to where I was. He must increase, but I must decrease. In the next chapter, a Samaritan woman meets the Messiah. In this point, what happens is the Samaritan woman's at the well drawing water, and the Samaritan woman comes, or Jesus is not drawing water, but he says, yeah, give me a drink. And she says, oh, well, you know, and he tells her all about herself. So she goes back and proclaims Jesus. So the whole village then comes to and accepts that Jesus is there. But then the next part is, and this is a really lovely little bit of scripture, and it's pretty obscure, but let's have a look at it. It's way down in 4:41 or 40. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Right, so now more people believed, right? The Samaritan woman came with testimony and people believed, but now because people heard Jesus himself, many more believed, all right? And that's for us, all right? That's for us, not to just take other people's testimony and other people's teaching, but now to hear God's word for ourselves, all right? To grasp what he has. As we grow from this little baby nurtured now, this miraculous new spirit that's growing in us, continue to nurture it, grow it, feed it, look after it, and then all these things start to come, all the rewards. So as I just finish up, the birth and the growth of a Christian. What we nurture grows, what we neglect dies. I put it to you today, is your new little infant getting the nurture it needs? Is it getting the nurture it needs? I just encourage you to dwell on that just for a sec, because I'm going to open up for prayer here in a minute. Firstly, Jesus says you must be born again. If you're not born again, all right, that's the first step. The second step after that, though, is there's a nurturing process. We can take on all of the blessing that God has for us. There is so much, all right? Is that if we fall short, the blessing of God is that, yes, we fall short, but if we will acknowledge that and repent and turn aside, he will lift us up and we will grow to another level, all right? It's not for us to judge whether someone failed, fell, went down or whatever, all right? We're all sinners saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, all right? So I just put that to you today. Have a think about that. It's a bit like today. Would you like just to squeeze that dark balloon and squeeze that stuff out of your life? If so, as I said, Sandra and I will be here to pray for you, to be able to come and just lay down at the altar anything of this world that's still hanging on you. You know, pop that black balloon and get rid of the sucker. All right, get it out of the road. Jamie.
Just when you used that analogy before of squeezing that dark balloon into the light balloon again, could you put that again, say, therefore buying that room in that new balloon?
Yes, and the Holy Spirit wants to come in, take all of that out, and fill you with his peace, his love, his joy, his patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, all of those things, all right? So as we finish up now, Lord, we just want to thank you, Father, for your word. There's so much more. Father, I was going to read lots more scriptures, Father, but you know, Father, you've revealed to each one of us, Father, what it is you want us to know and understand this day. We give you glory, Father. We just still our hearts, and Father, we just grasp hold of that word. Father, today we roll it around in our heads. Are there things about our lives that we can cut off, that we should be putting away? But most importantly, have we got to a point in our lives where if we're asked, do you believe, how you will answer that? And you will go, yes, Lord, I believe. Or you will be condemned because you don't believe. That's your place today. Born again of the Spirit of God, nurturing and growing it. So just as the songs start, we're going to have a couple of songs.